Wonderful. Good evening, everyone. Let's try again. It's nice to see everyone. Last weekend, we had a wonderful camp away as a congregation, Durbanville PM, and we went with Durbanville AM. And that's to remind us, in a sense, as well, that we are not just our little congregation trying to do our thing. No, we are part of a bigger picture, kind of like a puzzle. We are only one puzzle piece of the bigger picture. And even in the kingdom of God, Josh Jen is not the full puzzle. There's a much bigger puzzle, and God is building His church all over the world. And we can take courage and comfort in that God is building His church in a day, in an age like we are in, where it might feel to us that things are getting darker. It might feel to us the world is getting more evil, and it's just becoming more difficult and more hostile towards Christians in this world. But we can take courage that God made a promise, and I want to encourage you, if it's written in His Word, it's written in His Word. Nothing will change that. God said, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Isn't that good news in a day and age like today? I know we get out there, Facebook, and we get confronted with the world that doesn't like our message. I don't know, this is not part of my notes, I'll get to my notes just now. I'm a big rugby supporter. I love rugby, I love watching rugby. And there's a rugby player currently right now in the firing line. So I don't know if you know about it, Israel Folau. He's an Australian rugby player. He's incredibly good. He actually, 2 weeks ago, became the highest try scorer in Super Rugby history. And then about a week later, we can debate about whether he was clever or not clever. That's not kind of the point. But he made an Instagram post posting with a scripture in the bottom saying, these kinds of people will be going to hell. And it's all just from the scripture. And then he just got attacked from everywhere. And I understand on the one side, I do understand, like, maybe it wasn't the most cleverest thing to do. But the reality is that if we're going to stand for the message of Jesus, if we're going to stand for the truth in the Bible, we are in a world that does not like the truth we present. But Jesus said He will build His church. And so the message that I want to share tonight, I've titled it Light in the Darkness. Light in the Darkness. Matthew 5 verse 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Lord, I want to honor you and glorify you for your word that you have spoken, that has been captured in the canon of scripture, Lord, that this word is fixed, Jesus, that you, and in another place, you said that you will build your church, Lord. And we honor and recognize that you are the true light, and that we, your church, are carriers of that light, Lord. And you said that we are a city on a hill, Lord, that we are a lamp. We are a lamp that is not under a basket, but on a stand. And Lord, that we honor you that through us carrying your light, Lord, your light will go into the nations. Your light will impact Durbanville because you shine your light in and through us, God. I pray, God, that this word would not return void, Lord, that we would truly be the people that shine your light. That none of us, Lord, would be found under a basket, Lord. And if anyone tonight, Lord, is found under a basket, would you come and remove that basket, Lord? That we would be the light that shines brightly in an age that is covered in darkness. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. And just before I go into this word builds on what we had shared at the camp this past weekend. And what an amazing camp we had. And I'll just go into that now. But I want to encourage us that we are one congregation. And some of us couldn't be at the camp for reasons and et cetera, et cetera. Some of us were serving in sessions at the camp. But I want to encourage us that we are still one congregation, that we are still moving forward, everyone together. I'm not going to put this up there, but there's a scripture in 1 Samuel 30 where David and the men, they're fighting against enemies. It's in 1 Samuel 30. You can go look it up yourself. they're fighting the enemies, and they come at one point, they come back to the town where their base town almost, and they come there and they see that the enemy has been through the camp. Their wives have been taken captive. Their houses has been set alight with fire. And it says in that moment that there were men discouraged. And David said, let's go pursue these enemies. Let's fight them and get our wives back. And then it said, but David then says, those of you that are too discouraged, that are too tired, stay behind. Only those that are willing to fight, let's go and fight our enemies. And then out of the 600, 400 goes to fight and 200 stays behind. And they fight the enemy. They win the enemy. They come back with everything, their wives, their children. They come back even with more spoils of the enemies. That's our God. But then as these 400 come back, one guy says, who are these 200 that we should share some of the spoil with the 200 that didn't fight? And David says, he basically rebukes the guy for having a wicked heart and a wicked mind and saying, no, we are one nation. Everyone shall share what we have won in this battle. Even though 200 didn't go for the fight, everyone share in the spoils. And I want to say that we are one congregation, that even though some of you couldn't be at the camp, that doesn't mean that you are not part of what God is doing in our midst. And I want to silence maybe a voice that the enemy has whispered in your ear. Yeah, because you couldn't be at the camp, that you are now not part of what God is doing in this church, in this congregation. That's not true. And even if you're visiting tonight from another congregation, there's a couple of people visiting tonight, and it's great to have you with us. And I'm trusting that tonight's word even will, it will benefit you, and you will be able to walk away encouraged and inspired to do what God has for you going forward. And just for me, just want to highlight one specific moment in the camp that really stood out for me. On Saturday evening, God was so present. The Holy Spirit was so intense, if I can use that word. But for me, while we were worshiping, before I went in to preach, I felt in worship, I must call Carmine up. She's going to prophesy over us. So I look for Carmine. It was quite dark. There's 300, 400 adults worshiping. I'm looking for Carmine. I find Andre, and Andre's like, no, he doesn't know where his wife's worshiping. And finally, I find Carmine there, and she's worshiping the Lord. And I said, Carmine, when I preach, I'm going to call you forward. You need to come and prophesy over us. And she says, yeah, she's got something, and she shares with me what she's got, something out of Jeremiah, a belter, God wants to, and I'm not going to go into the details of that. And it's just like, I'm like, oh, that doesn't feel like the right word, but just be ready to come. What God showed me in worship was she's going to come forward, and the Holy Spirit is going to come upon her, and then she's going to prophesy, not the word that God gave her, but the now word in that moment. And for those of you that were there, it was just powerful. And to be honest, I had no idea. She had no idea where I was trying to go with my preach. I had no idea what God was going to say in that moment. So it was kind of, I took a risk. And it's quite difficult when just before you preach, someone shares a prophetic word and it's the exact opposite of what you're preaching. You're kind of like, that's kind of like a dilemma. You've got to either change your preach or, because God is speaking. But God was so faithful in that moment that exactly where I felt the Lord was going to take the meeting, the prophecy that she gave was exactly in that direction. So hopefully we've got no sound issues now, but it's about a minute and 40 seconds. And we're going to listen to just that prophecy, because I believe that prophecy is over Durbanville AM and Durbanville PM. But even wider than that, anyone part of us, this is so relevant. So let's have a listen to what God said through that prophecy.
So the Lord say that his eyes are roaming over the earth and he's searching for those whose hearts are faithful to him. And I felt the Lord say that he's found a people that are faithful. I have found a faithful people. I have found people who are willing to go. I have found a people who are willing to speak. I'm preparing you. I'm knitting you together as new wineskins. New wineskins. And I say, receive my new wine. Thank you, Lord. my new one. There's a hungry and thirsty world out there, and you will be my spokespeople. You are my faithful children. Thank you. And they will come running. They will come running, and you will drip of the oil. You will drip of my anointing, and they will come running. And I will satisfy them. I will satisfy them, my children. I have found a people that are willing to go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
What a powerful prophetic word that is over us. And God is saying in that in us, not that we are special or in any of that sense, but I believe we are special to God. But there's nothing special about us that I don't think we are significant. But there's something, yeah, God, we are special to God. And in this word, in this prophecy, God says that He has found in us a faithful people. He's found us to be faithful in going, faithful in declaring, and there's a sense of faithful in feeding hungry and thirsty people. And I believe that He's speaking spiritually, that we are called to be a church that is a light to Durbanville. We are called to be a church as a light in Cape Town. And God says that in us, He has found a faithful people. And I don't know about you, but I want to be that. It's kind of a weird one because and that's the thing about prophecy. Prophecy actually looks into the future. Prophecy, God actually reveals something of what is to come, and it's been declared in the now. Those of you that have received the prophetic words, sometimes you're like, actually, when someone reveals something to you about your life through the Spirit of God that's in the past, that is actually a word of knowledge. Prophecy, God shows someone something of your future, and they declare it. So prophecy has to do with the future, and I believe this is prophecy for us as a church, and it pertains to what is to come. And God says, I found a people faithful. Faithful in going and faithful in declaring. Isaiah 60 verse 1 to 5 says the following, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and His glory will be seen upon you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around, and see, they all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on them. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. In a sense, God is saying, and what I'm sensing the Holy Spirit is highlighting to us as a people, is that in our time, in our day and age, like this, we are in a time where our message is received not globally in a sense. There's a resistance to the message of the gospel. There's a time, we are living in a time in the earth. We are covered, the earth is covered in a sense with darkness, full of people who do not know God, full of people who do not desire to know God. If you are just on social media platforms, you can, just by posting something, you'll see the resistance that comes to that message. But the Lord promises that, He says, arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Darkness shall cover the earth, thick darkness the people, but the Lord will arise upon you. And God is, this prophecy through Karamin, God is saying, He's looking into the future of this church, of this congregation, of Durbanville AM, Durbanville PM, and God is saying, I found a faithful people. I found a people that will not shy away from the message of the gospel. I found a people that will not shy away from shining light into the darkness. And it's not literally that we've got to walk around with our torches late at night. Look, there's a people shining their light in the darkness. No. That's not what God is saying. But God is saying that we are a people that's going to carry His light to those that are in darkness. Anyone at this point in time that doesn't know Jesus Christ, is caught up and stuck in darkness. Jesus prayed in John 17, verse 15 to 16. He says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Jesus is praying. He's praying to the Father, and he's saying, I pray that you do not take them out of the world. Jesus is praying, but he's praying that we would be kept from the evil one. And he's assuming by that second sentence that, but that you keep them from the evil one. Jesus is assuming, I'm assuming that Jesus is assuming that we will come into contact with evil. Why would I pray for protection if I'm not going on a journey, for example? Lord, protect me on my journey. And I just go sit on my couch for the rest of it. That doesn't make sense. Jesus saying, I'm praying that you would be protected from the evil one, because this world that you live in, this mission I'm sending you on, you will come into contact with evil. Say amen. You see, in the church, I know, we are tempted to have our holy huddles. And to, we come like into church, I'm going to let my light shine. And you'll find that when you come to church, the light is already on. Because we are people that all have the light. It's not that the church needs light. Amen? Who needs light? Those that are stuck in darkness are the ones that need light. So when we sing, I'm going to let my little light shine. No, that's not the right. This little light of mine, that's it. There you go. When we sing that, we are actually not speaking about Sunday or when we gather. We're actually speaking about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, when you're out there in the world. That's the moment when you've got to let your light shine. This is more like, let's recharge our batteries so that when tomorrow comes, my light is ready to shine. We as a church, I believe, God says He's found us faithful. God is looking into the future. So I've got so much hope in me that we're going to actually, there's something of a shifting, there's a word in the prayer meeting that came out that God wants to change our boundaries. And there's been a word of forgiveness. But the one boundary that I feel like God wants to also change is our influence out there and the way we're shining our light to those that are stuck in darkness. And we as a church, we need to be faithful to our identity as carriers of the light. Jesus says that we will be faithful. But it's this tension between the scripture says that we are, some, in one place, I'm just thinking, the scripture says we are not of those that shrink back and fall away. So God looks into the future. Paul, whoever's writing there, is looking into the future. He says, here is a group of people that will be faithful to me. Did he have a vision of the future? And he, in a sense, he's saying like, he actually doesn't know, but he's sure of it. And God looks at us, and he's the only one that knows. But he looks at us and he says, I've seen the future of this church, and I know this will, you will be faithful. But that doesn't mean that we don't have responsibility to be faithful. I can tell you now that I will be faithful to my wife for the rest of my life. But that doesn't mean the responsibility to be faithful falls away. And so God says, you are a people that are faithful, but that doesn't mean that the responsibility of being faithful falls away. Does it make sense? I feel like that explains it well. But we are tempted as believers to not shine. We are tempted to draw, light draws to light. In a sense, finding ourselves in darkness is uncomfortable. Finding ourselves among people that do not worship God is uncomfortable. Many of us come home after a day at work and we're like, thank goodness. I can be home among people that know God at work. It's just, but we are tempted to shy away from our responsibility to shine our light there where darkness is the strongest. We need to be faithful to our identity as carriers of the light. And then secondly, we need to be faithful to our mission as a church. And I do not mean our church is just Jen. We need to be faithful to the mission of the church globally. And that is to reach out and make disciples of nations. 2 Corinthians, Paul, I'm going to run through this. But if you're making notes, or this is a good moment to take notes, if you want to take notes. there's five things that I want to highlight from 2 Corinthians. I'm going to just read the verse quickly, and I'm going to mention five things that Paul says that we are in this world. Number one, we are the fragrance of Christ. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14 and 15 says, but thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. Like victory is guaranteed, says God. Through us, he spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. You are the fragrance of Christ. Say amen. Because that is truth. And you are the fragrance of Christ amongst us. It's wonderful when I come in, when I walk into a fellow brother or sister's house, and there's just a sense of Jesus is here. And that is encouraging. It builds us up. And so to one another, we are the fragrance of Christ. But not only, the scripture says, to one another. We are to those who are perishing, also the fragrance of Christ. And to those that are being saved, we are the fragrance of Christ. Point number two in 2 Corinthians. So fragrance, it's not just for us. It's for those out there. We are a fragrance. Number two, we are a letter to be read by all. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 2, you yourselves are our letter of recommendation written on our hearts to be known and read by all. It doesn't say to be known and read by all Christians or by all believers. No, it says to be read by all. You are a letter. If you've given your life to God, if you've surrendered to Jesus Christ, if you've made him your Lord and Savior, what are you? You are a letter. God has done something in your heart, and it's to be read by all. Everyone needs to read your letter. That doesn't mean you're going to meet every single person that exists on this planet. That's just impossible. But it means that wherever you go, wherever your life touches other people, you will be a letter of the work of Christ. Number three, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 5, we are proclaimers. Paul is saying, for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. We, as the church of Jesus, need to be faithful to our mission to proclaim Jesus Christ. We are proclaimers. Point number four, we are persuaders. 2 Corinthians 5:11. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are known to what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are persuaders. We know the fear of God. We know what happens to those who don't know Jesus Christ. They are going to hell. And there was a real sense at the camp of God just again reminding us that hell is a reality. Hell is not it's not just a place where Jesus is not. No, hell is a place where there will be gnashing of teeth. Hell is a place where people will be tormented for eternity. And I feel like that is a truth and something that the enemy is actually trying to make us believe that hell is not a serious place. No, hell is a serious place. And so knowing the fear of God, knowing what happens to those who don't know Jesus Christ, we must persuade others to choose Jesus. We are persuaders as the church of Jesus Christ. And now lastly, and there's many more things the Bible uses to describe our mission in this world, but the last thing that we are in this world that I'm going to touch on today is we are ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. Because we are ambassadors, we walk around saying, you must be reconciled to God. Knowing that when those that are not reconciled to God, we know their destination. And ambassador means that you are living in it's very simple. You are living in a country that is not your country. Does it make sense? You all know, like, when, if you go to, we've got a couple of people relocating their lives overseas. So the process starts with, you go to the embassy of the nation that you want to relocate to, because you've got to first get permission to go there. We are ambassadors of Christ. We are ambassadors of heaven. We are the ones that are going to walk around giving people the good news that if they repent from their sin, if they accept the love of Christ, they will be welcome in heaven. We are ambassadors for Christ. So these five things, we are the fragrance of Christ. We are the letters of Christ. We are proclaimers of Christ. We are persuaders for Christ, and we are ambassadors of Christ. This is the mission of the church. We do not exist for ourselves. There's a guy that said the church is the only organization in the world that does not exist for the benefit of those only inside it. The church exists for the benefit of those that are not yet part of us. On the camp, I asked the question, why, if Jesus only wants us to go to heaven, why are we still here? And Enoch, those of you that know about Enoch, is proof that God can actually just take us if he wanted to. Genesis 5 verse 24. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Interesting. So Enoch is proof that if God wanted to, he could have taken you. Actually, God can come tonight and he can just take us as a church. It would be nice. to be honest, that would be nice. Because it means that we will be set free from the pain of this world. It means that we'll be set free from being exposed to the evil and the darkness of this world. It would mean that we would be immediately set free from many troubles to come in our life. So come on, God. If you want to. Enoch walked with God and he was now. I would like to think that we as a church, that we are walking with God. So why, if we are walking with God, are we still here? Why doesn't God just take us if he wants to take us? Now, I believe that God leaves us here because he wants us here. Because we've got a mission to fulfill. We've got something to do. We've got a purpose to live out on this side of eternity. God could take us if he really wanted to. And I believe God wants us to be with him. But I believe God wants many people also that do not know him yet to be with him in eternity. And that is the reason why if you're a born again Christian and you are still here, just check if you are here. Just make sure that you are still here. Are you here? All right. If you are still here and you're a Christian, there's a reason why God hasn't taken you. It's because you've got a mission to complete. You've got to persuade others. You've got to be that letter that's going to be read by unsaved people. Unsaved people at your work, they need to smell the difference. There's something about you that's different. The unsaved people in the hobby that you do, whether it's cycling, whether it's golf, when you're playing a round of golf with someone, they need to, what is different about you? There's something different. Tell me what is different about you. I remember when I got saved, I told everyone at the camp that I was too ashamed. Not ashamed, it's not a rival, but I was too scared to tell people that I got. The guy that led me to Jesus, he said, well, go and tell people, three people, that you got born again today. And I thought, I can do that. But as soon as I stepped out of that room where I gave my life to God, I was scared. I didn't want to tell people because I was afraid of how they would react to me. Now I've gone blank. Why have I told this? Where was I going? Yes. I know, but I can't, there's a reason why I told the story now. I can't remember it. Awkward. Anyway. Yes, this is where I'm going. I got it. Sorry for that. So I was too scared to tell anyone. So in the hostel, you're in a room and you share a room with your friends. And I was too scared to tell my very, very best friend he's been my roommate for 3 years at that point. I was too scared to tell him about my decision that I made. And so what I did was, I just, my life changed radically when I gave my life to God. I started living for God, flat out, as best as I know how. I lived for God. And then about a couple of weeks in, 2-3 weeks later, and that's the same time more or less when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, but that's not where I'm going tonight. But he one night he asked, the lights, off the lights out, it was just a room with me and him, and he said, "Christopher, what has changed in your life? Because I want it. I want it." And that night I had the privilege to lead my roommate to Jesus. I said, "Look, I know we read our Bibles. I know we Christians, but now I'm a real Christian. Now I really know Jesus, and he really saved me from my sins." And that night I had the privilege to share the gospel, and I prayed with him, and I led him. I said, "Pray, ask God to forgive you." And God came and radically touched his life. And that's the gospel. That's the light in the darkness. And there've been many others that I've had the opportunity and the privilege of leading to Christ. We are called to be a light in the darkness. People need to see that there's something about us that is unique, something about us that is different. That light in the people need to see it wherever we go, whatever we do. And I want to say that Enoch was taken. It's proof that God can take us if he wants to, but he leaves us with a purpose. You need to know that. You need to believe that we are here with a purpose. Tell the person next to you and tell them you have purpose. Let's put Acts 17:26 verse 27 on. "And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should see God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us." I want to say that not only does God not take us when we get born again, but in God's sovereignty, God knows and God purposes and God intends for us to be where we are right now. God, in his sovereignty, knows where you work. In his sovereignty, God knows where you live. And I want to say to you tonight that God is the one actually behind everything. You see, God places you not in Durbanville or Belleville or Edgemead or wherever you live and wherever you... God doesn't place you there because that's where you are going to be the happiest. Sorry if I just burst your bubble. No, God places you wherever it is that you are. God is actually behind it. You need to be convinced of that tonight. But God places you there. Why? Because that is where God has sent you to be on mission for him. God has sent you there to declare the gospel on behalf of him. Otherwise, he would have taken you like he took Enoch. But he has not taken you, and I can see that you are still here. So you need to believe tonight that God has got a purpose for you in your work and there where you live. And we need to start trusting God that we will boldly declare who he is to others, that they can come to know him. God said he would find us that being that faithful people. You see, many of us have made the mistake and we have thought, you know what, I wish I could have been a missionary there somewhere in Africa. I would do so great for Christ. Let me tell you, God, if God thought you would be a better missionary in Africa, you would be somewhere in Africa. You are here because God thinks this is the best place where you can be a missionary for him. Matthew 9 verse 10 to 13. And I'm landing, but I want to shift and make it actually really, really practical. Matthew 9 verse 10 to 13. "As Jesus reclined at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?' But when he heard it, he said, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick.'" I want to rephrase. Those who dwell in light do not need extra light. Those in darkness need light. "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners." I want to ask you, are you eating with sinners and tax collectors? What I'm actually asking is, do you have friends that do not know Jesus Christ? And I would suspect because just the temptation that we have is we like to holy huddle. We like to do things with our friends and we like, and those that have the same values as us. But I want to suggest tonight that we, if you do not have unsaved friends, those ping pong balls, and I'll ask next week, please, we need that to be out here because it reminds us that we've got a mission, that we need to trust God for people to get saved. But those ping pong balls, I would like us to have a name on that ball, that it's someone that we can actually reach out to. So in other words, that the name that you've put in there is someone that you can actually, you can invest time, money, and energy to try and persuade them, to try and be that fragrance of Christ to someone that you can actually impact their lives. It's good that it might be someone that's on the other side of the, and I would encourage, pray for anyone that you know that needs to get saved. Pray for them. But let's be intentional in reaching out to someone that we can actually impact. I want to say that get a hobby. Golf, biking, fishing, I don't know what the hobbies are there. But if you're not in contact with unsafe people, get a hobby where you do get in contact with unsafe people. Because how are you going to be the fragrance where the fragrance is already quite nice? Yesterday we attended a bachelor and we played some roll ball? Not tenpin bowling. What is roll ball? Bowls. What a fun game! It's amazing. It's like it's for old people. Yes, I know. But there's a lot of young people part of the club. Devil has got a bowling club. Why don't become part of the bowling? Just get to know unsafe people. I think we as the church can be guilty most of the times of just being us, doing our thing. But light doesn't need light. Darkness needs light. So I want us to stretch ourselves to... And I know, like, life is busy. We've got kids, we've got our marriages, we've got our friends, we've got everything. It's like, God, where am I going to fit in the time to work in a hobby? I don't know. But God has called us to reach the unsaved. God has called us to be a light in the darkness. The light's not going to float into the darkness by itself. Unless you can float, but I don't think so. God has called you and me to share the gospel. God has called me and you to be an influence. And I want to end off by saying that I just thought about this the other day. When you walk, who have you been to Tiger Valley Shopping Center or to Canal Walk? Who have you been in a mall, basically? Do you ever walk in a mall and you look at like, jeez, these people are so lost and so messed up? No. Why? Because people are very good at covering up what's actually going on. You know how good you are at hiding what's really going on. When I walk in Tiger Valley, all I see is people that looks like they've got their life sorted out. They've got the nice K-wear jackets. They're just floating along. When I park there with my Chef Avio, my Chef Avio, next to the Range Rovers and all those, let me tell you, it's all just a cover up. They don't know it yet. I'm not saying if you're rich, please, that's not my point, but you can be rich and serve Jesus. For sure. But you know what I'm trying to say. We live in an area where people cover up the emptiness of not having Jesus in it. They cover it up with materialistic things. It means we are still called to share the gospel with rich people. We are called to share the gospel with people who think they have it together, but actually they don't. We are called to share the gospel, and the best way to do it is to actually... is actually to become friends with them. Because as you become friends, as they, like Jesus ate in their house and sat with them and he spent time. And as they get to know us, they're not going to see the gospel just because we are super prayer warriors. We worship like the worship superstars of this generation. No, that's not why they're going to see. That's not how they're going to see the gospel. They're going to see the gospel because they're going to see our marriages are beautiful. They're going to see the gospel in the way that we raise our children. They're going to see the gospel in the way that we think and talk about money. They're going to see the gospel in the way that we respond to how our country's going. They're going to see the gospel in the way we live. And therefore, we need to become their friends so that they can see actually their lives are empty. Actually, what they're holding on to is but for a moment. I want to persuade you to go and persuade others. I want to call on us as a church to be the light in the darkness. I'm going to end off by not reading the whole scripture, but Isaiah has I read this at the cap. Isaiah has a revelation of God, and his first response is, "Woe to me, I'm a man of unclean lips." But then God comes and God touches his lips. God says, "You are now clean. Now who will go for me?" And Isaiah says, "Here I am, send me." And that's the call I made at the camp. Here I am, send me. And I believe God is calling us not to settle into our job thinking our job is for us. No, you are there for the people around you. You live where you live, not for that's the best place where God wants you to live. No, you live there because there's people around you that God has placed you to touch their lives. And for many of us, for me included, it's like I'm surrounded with people. At this stage, honestly, I do not know how I'm going to impact them. But I'm saying, God, I need to start finding a way. It's not good enough to say, I don't know how. I like to mountain bike, but somehow I need to find a way that I can not just mountain bike with Rob, but with unsafe people too. Or if it is, go join a fishing club. I mean, whatever it is, do something where you can be light in a dark place. Amen.